welcome the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Hope it was a safe weekend. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. We've got a boatload of news to cover, and I want to thank everybody for the great response we've had on last night's show and on Friday's show. Gosh, guys, you know, I tell you what, I really appreciate it. You know, when I take a day off or something like that, and you guys just stay there and listen to the shows and just really enjoy them and tell us how much and what a blessing they've been to you guys. I know we had a really nice email also came in today that we had another Health Masters baby get born, and the guy's wife was going into contractions. They thought she was going to be delivering a preemie, and she started using the magnesium oil on her stomach when she was pregnant, and the contractions went away, and the baby was able to go full term, and this baby's very, very healthy, and they were happy that you were sharing all the information that you had shared online and on the show to help people, Austin. So I want to thank you for doing that, and thank you for letting us know that that happened. And again, guys, thank you so much for the plethora of emails that you send in. We try to answer all of them. But real quick, I wanted to share something with you. There's a really good report that you can read. It's called the Marshall Report, and it's by Diane Marshall. And I had no idea that this was going on with Ted Cruz, just to give you an indication of who he is. And she starts off this by saying, Ted Cruz begged the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, not the Republican, the DNC, for money to fund his delegate fight in Cleveland. If there's any lingering doubt in anyone's mind as to Cruz being one of the lowest self-absorbed traitorous life forms roaming the planet, this should end all the doubt. He not only lied, cheated, and committed fraud throughout the entire campaign, when he lost and ran out of money, he turned to the Democratic National Committee for funding to try to ruin the GOP nominee Donald Trump. Emails have been released by WikiLeaks implicating the weasel who is about to pop. And just why would Cruz do that? Because he's not a man of principle, not a man of his word, not a man you can trust, not a legal immigrant. He is an anti-American, pro-New World Order Hillary supporter. I added that. He is a globalist snake with lethal venomous bite that can never be trusted. His records were sealed because he is paid for by the establishment who owns him, which would be the Bush dynasty and the Rothschild dynasty. WikiLeaks releases 20,000 hacked emails from the DNC. You gotta love WikiLeaks. They keep our government out in the open. And the news about the DNC just keeps getting better. Ted Cruz asked the DNC for money to help fund his delegate fight in Cleveland, working to push through the rules changes in the committee to work with bound delegates. Jack Trapper of CNN colluded with the DNC. They gave him questions to ask during his interviews. Chuck Todd of NBC was also colluding with the DNC and put pressure on others as his network, as easy as Democrats on the DNC's request. The New York Times co-posted parties with the DNC. That's illegal, by the way. Hillary Clinton set up a slush fund through the DNC to launder donor money, more illegal stuff. The DNC actively colluded with the media to work against Bernie Sanders, more illegal stuff. Hold on to your seats, folks. This is about to get beyond real as the evil ones are exposed for the minions that they've always been. This is certainly the election for the last generation, one between good versus evil. She goes on to say, I stand on the side of law and order and for Trump, the only choice for all good Americans. Hillary is not for America. She is the one world order and nothing, and you are nothing to her. No one is. If she's allowed to get away with all she has done and has been doing, you're all doomed who vote for her. I saw the movie Hillary's America on Friday with Sharon Austin. We went to the theater. Yep. And the sad part about it was the movie was phenomenally well done. It showed Hillary for the true blood-drinking, blood-sucking, venomous witch that she is. I mean, it did. It really did a good job. But the sad part to me was I was the youngest guy there, and I'm 60. And Savannah was with us, our 13-year-old. She was the youngest person there. But Sharon and I were 59 and 60. We were the youngest people there. Everybody else was in the late 60s, 70s, and 80s. Now, I found that very disheartening, Austin, because if we're the only ones watching these movies, we're the only generation that remembers what it used to be. And it's sad because today I watched the 1976 speech by Ronald Reagan. And I remember watching the speech. It was in August of 1976. I remember it very well because I was home for the summer. It was the only semester it was the only summer semester I ever came home from Florida State University, and the last time I ever did so. And it was interesting to me because I've been on my own at the university for a full year. I came home and I had to spend another 2 or 3 months here in Central Florida, but I wasn't in school, so I really had lost a lot of my social contacts because they'd all gone to college or were doing summer semesters. And I remember I was bored. I was watching some TV at night. And I remember I watched the Republican National Convention. I watched Ronald Reagan's speech in August. And I watched the guy speak, and he got me so excited as a 20-year-old that I thought, my gosh, we're putting the wrong man on the ticket. And that's exactly what happened. We put Gerald Ford back on the ticket because he had taken the election over from, or taken the presidency over from Nixon. And Ford was a nice guy. I knew him. I had dinner with him in Atlanta one time. Nice guy. Nice guy. But he was not presidential material. He was basically the vice president of Nixon, who became president when Nixon was basically going to be impeached. But Ford couldn't speak. And, you know, of course, he had Bob Dole as his running mate. And the sad part about all of this is that they had to bring Reagan up on the platform, and then Reagan spoke. And Austin, I sent you the link, he took control of the entire convention. And he only spoke for like 7-8 minutes, like a 7 or 8 minute speech. And he congratulated Ford. He congratulated the win. He talked about the country, talked about unity, and showed everybody there that he should have been the nominee. And of course, 4 years later, he was. But the entire Republican Party galvanized around him. They were clapping and screaming for minutes as he walked off the stage. And this is in a 7 or 8 minute speech. Such was the power of Ronald Reagan when he was younger and he had not been compromised mentally by getting shot and all the drugs they'd put him on. The man was an icon. And that's the Ronald Reagan that we all remember. And the sad part about it is a lot of people have bad attitudes about Reagan because of the gun bill or because of the immunization thing that he passed or signed. And yes, he did those things and he shouldn't have done them, but I have to believe with all of my heart that he knew nothing about that because George Bush was running that White House. There's no way that his aides told him what he was signing when he signed those things into law. And yesterday I also went to a church in Tampa, and the pastor was actually invited to the Republican National Committee thing, speech thing, the convention up in Cleveland, and he brought some of the people back with him, some of the top leaders, and they told us at the church that Donald Trump did not approve of the speakers, and he did not approve of the homosexual guy from PayPal speaking. They said that Donald Trump never would have done that. So I wanted to get that out in the open. Okay, not that I'm picking on the guy, but the guy was in Bilderberger, so I got a problem with him speaking there. I don't care for that. So I have but the RNC did that, and of course Ted Cruz was booed off the platform. I hope and I pray that we'll never see that weasel again, because he completely and totally soiled himself and soiled his image, soiled his reputation by what he did. So I'm really, really, really glad he's gone. Austin, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, it is interesting, too, because I also didn't agree with that, the RNC. But, you know, Trump couldn't help what they're, you know, bringing on stage. But the PayPal guy, remember, PayPal is extremely anti-Second Amendment. They're very, very, very strong globalist agenda. That's why we don't carry PayPal on our website. Granted, PayPal has some really good stuff set up for donations. You know, the Hagmans, Hodges have that set up. They work really efficiently, really easy for some stuff they do. But PayPal in general is a very globalized company, and that's what they promote. So I'm not a huge fan of them. So I definitely wasn't a fan of them bringing that guy on there. But also, too, with the WikiLeaks comment about earlier, I thought it was interesting because it showed that the DNC was directly working to make sure Bernie didn't get on the ticket. And then also to add multiple emails already that they've seen, the DNC officials signed off and acknowledged the existence of 2 anti-Donald Trump protests and multiple other ones now that it looks like they're finding going through all this stuff. So, I mean, we know exactly what was going on and all the charades they were playing behind the scenes to try and prevent Trump from getting in there. So, I mean, I thought it was funny you brought up the first thing, those Cruz went to them for money.
Well, a top official of the Hillary Clinton's campaign on Sunday basically accused the Russian government of orchestrating the release of these damaging Democratic Party records. Here's the thing about this. She's calling him releasing the damaging Democratic Party records in order to help the campaign of Donald Trump. Well, yeah, Donald Trump likes Putin. They're friends, okay? So what's the problem with that? I'd rather have that than a third world war. But what's interesting about this is they're calling the damaging Democratic Party records. How about they just didn't do that to start with?
Yeah.
How about they weren't colluding like that? And how about even if somebody releases your records? I mean, guys, look at it this way. Figure this. Everything you send out on the email is getting monitored now by the NSA. Everything.
Yep.
Every single thing you send out, every single thing you say on telephones, everything's being monitored and being recorded. You might as well not say something you're going to get your butt in trouble for. You might as well not start talking about shooting people or killing people or overthrowing the government in email or on telephones. Just don't talk about that stuff. And you shouldn't feel that way anyhow. I mean, we really, really, really need a restoration of the Constitution and a restoration of the Republic. Our Constitution is fine. We just have to adhere to it and go back to it. And I really believe that Donald Trump's going to help us to do that. Hillary is not. She's already told us where we're going. We're going to go down another 8 years of King Obama. Now, they may be hacking it. Now, so what I hope is they release enough information through WikiLeaks to show how they're hacking into the Diebold election machines, which we've covered multiple times on this show, that'll allow the Republican National Committee, the real people in there who are doing the right things, to stop election fraud on this cycle. Now, what's also interesting, one of the guys who was in charge of putting the party plank together, he spoke at the church yesterday, and he said they had 122 people there that were Christians. Actually, he said 119 were Christians. Three of them were from the lesbian and gay community. And he said they put the plank together, and they made it the most Christian, the most conservative plank ever in the history of the RNC. Now, guys, we have a chance here to put this monkey back in the box. Okay, it's been running wild for a long time. It's got to be calmed back down. We have to give it a shot of something to calm it back down. Put it back in the box and put a lid on it. This whole out of control government has got to stop. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is government gone wild, and everything. There's a video out called that. So we've got to find a way to fix it. And you know, basically, the only hope we have at this point is going to be Trump. But I tell you what, though, I hope WikiLeaks keeps dumping all this stuff out. And again, Russia. And I covered this last week. It's been hacking everything. Apparently, yeah. They got some good hackers out there. And you know what? I don't care. I don't give a rat's butt if they expose every one of these stinking crooks and thieves and traitors in Washington. I don't care if they expose all of them. I think we all need to know. I think WikiLeaks and Putin, they've been keeping their powder dry to see how this thing was going to all shake out. And I really hope now they start talking about election fraud in detail, which they already are with what happened to Bernie. So, guys, these emails are enough. If they really did hack this election from Bernie Sanders and they committed all of this fraud against him, this is illegal. And all of these guys need to be indicted by the FBI instead of just told again, oh, we're not saying that if somebody else did this, that we wouldn't arrest him. We're not even saying that what she did wasn't wrong. We're just saying that right now we've decided that we're not going to prosecute her on these charges because Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch last week, my little commentary, and told her on the tarmac that the entire government of the United States was coming down and we're all better get some life insurance because we're all going to be dead. Okay, well, that's why we're not going to prosecute her. That's what happened. I mean, can you believe that we've been hijacked by the mafia? That's what this is. This is organized crime in the White House. With Barack Obama and with George W. and with Clinton before and with H. All of this is organized crime. I mean, the only person to try to clean this mess up was Kennedy, and we know what happened to him. And Reagan would have cleaned it up. I really believe that had he not gone senile in the White House because of all the drugs they were giving him and who knows what else they were doing to him. Good Lord, he had Alzheimer's almost immediately after leaving the White House. And I personally think the jelly beans they were given were tainted with who knows what. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I feel so bad for the guy because if you watch that 76 speech, Austin, for 7 or 8 minutes, it'll just sit there and just make you go, wow, this is a statesman. This is a real patriot. This is a real president of the United States. And for you, for all you folks out there that remember Ronald Reagan, you know I'm right. He brought everybody together, Democrats and Republicans, landslide victory. In 1980. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, yeah, and one of the other things, too, that has been that's been getting a lot of people's attention is how anti-gun Hillary is, but then a lot of people don't want to acknowledge it. There was a undercover video that just got released, too, with they did it on Mary Baer, who is a Clinton delegate, and she blatantly said exactly what we said before. She goes, saying you want to ban guns altogether is just going to hack everyone off. She said instead, you tell them words like you make moderate language when it comes to guns and obscure their true purpose. She said, you have to take the sort of moderate approach. We just want to have common sense legislation so our children are safe. She goes, you say crap like that and then people will buy into it. So it's interesting is you see stuff like this, you know what their agenda is with the Second Amendment. And the reason why I brought this up is because of the shooting that was in Fort Myers last night at that club. And in my opinion, this was something that was completely set up because they still don't even have anybody that they're saying was directly involved in this. Basically, two teenagers were killed and about a dozen other people were injured at a Florida nightclub. It was teen night. So again, now they didn't get the quite effect that they wanted with doing the gay club shooting. Now they did one at a teen night shooting, basically for teenagers ages 12 to 18. And they don't know what happened. Apparently somebody opened fire on a big crowd of kids that were outside. And so now they're saying, you know, there was already armed security there. It didn't help. Now we really have to decide whether or not, you know, we need these weapons of war on the streets, and we have to do this to protect our kids now. They did detain three individuals that were leaving, but apparently right now no charges have been filed. So, again, I think this was another one of those little black operations that they did down there to try and push the media. Remember, they did this with Sandy Hook already, guys. They get people's attention with the kids. Now, I'm not saying these kids didn't get hurt or anything like that. I pray for the families, and I pray for all these kids that were involved in that. But they're going to keep trying to do stuff like this, guys, over and over and over again because they want to get people's emotions involved so they can start banning these guns all over the country. They just did it in Massachusetts last week. You already saw that. That's what they want to start doing nationwide and slowly, slowly, slowly cut back our overall firearm rights. So essentially all we have are, you know, muzzle loaders and revolvers and maybe, you know, a pump action shotgun, nothing of any type of substantial force for fighting power and invasion. So that's what the overall goal is. So I thought that was interesting to see that Clinton delegate making statements like that on a, you know, basically a sting operation video. We see what they're doing. She makes that comment, and then we see what happened down there in Fort Myers. These guys aren't stupid. We see what they released with WikiLeaks. They're doing all this stuff under the table. So that's right. I really hope they get a lot more stuff released, because the more and more people that see this, it may just really start to change the overall mindset of some of these idiotic Hillary supporters to think, man, is this somebody that I really want to support? Is this somebody that I can really trust? Because the truth is, no, you definitely can't.
Well, you know, the thing about it is with the guns, I mean, last week in Germany, we had an axe attack, right?
Yeah.
On the subway. Well, you know, there's a couple down over the weekend, we had a machete attack. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what's really weird about this, basically, a Syrian refugee, 21 years old, hacks a pregnant woman to death with a machete and injures two others before a hero BMW driver runs him over in the latest attack to shock Germany. Now, they've got all the pictures here with the Polizei sitting out there, and there's a machete laying here on the sidewalk. There is not one drop of blood on the machete. Now, I know that nobody's picked this machete up because it's evidence. There's not one drop of blood on the sidewalk. There's not one drop of blood on the machete. I can't see a drop of blood except for like a bump on the guy's head who got run over by the BMW. I mean, are you kidding me? There's no blood. Now, if you take a machete and you hack somebody to death who's pregnant, and then the guy's going to get run over, there should be blood everywhere in the street. Where's the blood? There's no splatter on the pavement. There's no blood anywhere. I mean, are you joking me? I mean, I personally think a lot of this stuff is staged. But here's what's interesting about this, Austin. The last two attacks in Germany like this, as far as the axe and the machete, they weren't using guns. So doesn't that make anybody start thinking about what's happening and how suspicious all of this is? Because, quite frankly, this whole mess is just absolutely ridiculous, that it's all about, you know, the guns and taking away our Second Amendment rights. Germany doesn't have any Second Amendment rights, so that people get to be hacking each other to death with axes and machetes with no blood. So this whole thing, again, I believe, is back to that letter that Pike wrote Manzini about the three world wars and how we're in a situation where we're going to get basically just jammed up with this knowledge now that we're supposed to be fighting the Muslims in World War III. I think they're really trying to push for this. But to totally change the subject, we're going to talk about pornography. And I need to cover this with you guys, because I know multiple people that their children have gotten involved in this. And the reason I'm talking about this now, there's an article here out of Crisis Magazine and by Leah Sane, and she says that she's calling it romance porn. more women are addicted than you think. Now, I want to share this for just a second because I knew a girl in Tallahassee and she was addicted to this stuff. I'm not going to mention any names. I dated her for a while. And this is 35, 40 years ago before I got married. And I wouldn't be 40 years ago. I'd be like 37 years ago, 38 years ago. And what was interesting about this is, I'll never forget, you know, she always had her head stuck in a book. And finally, I picked up one of the books that I looked at. I started reading it, and, you know, we're going to church together, right? And I told her, I said, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. I mean, this is like some really nasty, nasty pornography. Why are you reading this? Oh, it's just a romance novel. It's fine. Well, girls, listen to me. It's not okay. All right? It's not okay. And it's sad because it's going to get worse if you start reading that stuff. And here's what's interesting about this article. It says, every year the pornography tangles up millions of people in its sticky spider webs. It rolls them up like hapless flies and then sucks out their brains until they're pretty much the walking dead. Christians are not exempt, and we're finally starting to admit it and talk about it. But there's still something missing in the discussion. Most of the time, articles about the negative effects of pornography only focus on men. Women have set up lawn chairs on the sidelines, often as despairing wives who wonder how to deal with their porn-entangled husbands. And this seems only right because many of us believe that pornography is mostly a male problem. All the women are becoming increasingly more pornography consumers. So what's crazy about all of this is there's this female Hugh Hefner that's come out. Her name is Meredith Wild. And she started writing this filthy, filthy stuff. She's a 33-year-old graphic designer. She changed her name. Her name's not really Marilyn Wild. I guess that's her, Meredith Wild. Apparently, that's her pen name. They don't want her real name being out there because of the filthy stuff that she writes. And she belongs to an exclusive club, they said. There are hundreds of thousands of self-published books on Amazon. Only 40 of these have managed to make a profit. You hear that? Only 40 of these books out of the hundreds of thousands have managed to make a profit by selling over 1 million copies of their ebooks over the past 5 years. That number alone is mind-boggling. Mrs. Wiles happens to be one of them. And she's just this filthy, filthy writer. I really would like to know what her ethnicity is and where she's from. I did everything I could to try to figure out what her real name was, and man, it is blocked. So it's really kind of sad because she's this big porn writer, and Christians are gobbling it up and basically just reading it. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have a problem with pornography with men, because we obviously do, but there's also a pornography problem with women. And these romance novels, you know, with Fabio on the cover and all the things that have come out, it's all it is. You know, the 50 Shades of Grey, all of that filth. Filth, filth, filth. And the sad part about it is that we have gotten in our society that it's okay to read these books. It's not okay to read these books. None of this is okay. You got to keep that stuff out of your mind, and your kids don't need to be reading this stuff. And if you have it in the house, your kids are going to start reading it, and they're going to start being interested in what's on the internet, looking at bad stuff. So guys, keep your iPads and your iPhones and your computers, keep them coded up so the kids can't get into them with passwords, and just make sure you try to protect them as much as you possibly can. Now, when they're 16, 17, 18 years old, and they've got their own phones and their friends are running around with them, there is nothing you can do. They're going to have to decide on what they're going to do with all this themselves, but protect them as long as you can while they're young. That's super important. Guys, stay off the mess. Girls, ladies, don't do this. Don't read this filth. Okay, this is a major problem for men and women and children now. Remember when George W., right before the Iraq, before the 9/11 happened, you know, 2001, he said he was going to go after the porn industry and shut them down. They're primarily Jewish-owned out of California. I mean, like 95% of them. Of course, we know that the Jewish folks control the media. They also control the porn industry. Now, you get, well, I can't believe you said that. It's anti-Semitic. Well, it's just a fact. If you don't want to deal with it, don't deal with it. It's just the truth. I'm so tired of tiptoeing around the tulips all the time and not calling out what it is. Okay, so we got all of these folks running Hollywood, running the porn industry, doing all of this stuff, and it saddens me that it's okay. And George Bush apparently was going to actually shut these big producers down out of California, and of course he immediately did not do any of that. Now, why did George Bush not do this? Well, number one, George Bush is not a Christian. I don't believe Ted Cruz is a Christian for 1 minute at all. They put this Christianity out there, and they have to put a little lapel pin on with a cross, or they say, I'm a Christian, look at me, and they're not. The Bible says that we'll know them by their fruits. Now, George Bush liked to curse, liked to drink, liked to do everything else. He was an alcoholic when he was younger, and I'm not saying that that's something you can't be repentant of or whatever, but he went to Bohemian Grove. There's no way that if you're going to Bohemian Grove and you're worshiping Moloch that you're going to be a Christian. It doesn't work that way. And he never went after the porn industry at all. All he wanted to do was attack all of these countries that had nothing to do with 9/11. That's all he was about. It was all about bringing in a new world order for him and his daddy and his granddaddy, Prescott. That's the only thing this was about. They want to bring in a new world order, controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel, controlled through the Catholic Church, controlled through the Council on Foreign Relations, controlled through the Council of 300, controlled through the CIA. All of these groups are working together with this Luciferian agenda. So guys, porn is something that is so debilitating because of the dopamine it triggers in the brain, and it's so addictive to some people, they literally will spend their whole days and nights, any spare time, watching this stuff. And guys, it's absolutely from the pit of hell. You don't need to be involved in it or have your children involved in it. And it's something we've got to talk about on this show and other shows, and we've got to address these issues. This lady's selling millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of filthy books, guys, and Christian women are buying it. That's a no-go for me. Don't allow that. Guys, step up to the pump, be an alpha male, talk to your wives about it and say, honey, this is something we can't do. So I want to talk about that. I know it's a really nasty subject to talk about, but we had to get that out there because there are too many Christian women that are involved in this mess and too many kids that are getting involved in it at a very young age. Austin, what's your next story?
Yes, yeah, so also, too, on a health topic standpoint, I got a really good email today from a lady to a link, and we have talked about it before, obviously, in massive detail on glyphosate and what it does to the body. So you guys can listen to those other shows if you want to have more research on that. Go on our website at healthmasters.com if you want to learn more about Roundup and glyphosate and what it does to the body and cancer and everything else. What was interesting is what she gave me is an updated list of what the FDA actually allows to be used and how much of a percentage of the crop to be used and an overall usage on non-GMO plants. What's interesting is we've talked about wheat before, and wheat is something that's becoming more and more, you know, because people always say gluten, it's gluten intolerance, I have gluten this, I have gluten that, I can't eat gluten. And to some respect, some people don't process it well, and also too, breads do have a tendency to put body fat on you, and they can also spike blood sugar with a glycemic index. But Roundup is usually used about 7 to 10 days before it's harvested on wheat, and it's becoming more and more and more popular, not just with wheat, guys, but with every single growth coming out of the ground. This is crazy here. Roundup purposes on food crop producing farms. Killing the crops and other greenery around it is actually the whole idea. For crops like wheat, it evens up the field, allows for the earlier harvest, protects machinery, and massively increases profit. Glyphosate is applied directly to dozens and dozens of non-GMO crops now. This is the worst possible case scenario because it's done right before harvest. This allows the glyphosate to be absorbed directly into the food crop, and then it's not even allowed to basically be rinsed off or anything. It's sprayed on, it dries out, and it's immediately harvested. So you're getting the full brunt of the entire glyphosate that gets sprayed on this. There are over 70 crops now on the current EPA list that are allowed to be used with glyphosate. Glyphosate used by farmers averaging 70% or more for some crops, including almonds, walnuts, figs, plums, prunes, grapes, kiwis, lemon, grapefruit, pistachios, pomegranates, and it's got the full list on here. And this is crazy. Like almonds, for example, annual average spraying is 2.1 million pounds of glyphosate. Percentage of crop treated, 85% of almonds are treated with glyphosate before harvest. Grapefruit, 400,000 pounds of glyphosate used annually. Average crop treated, 85%. Grapes, and this is one of the reasons why I've been talking to you guys. We talk so much about wine and the GMO, or not the GMO, the glyphosate content in wine. They're coming up with all these wine tests. They're all coming up with glyphosate. This is why. You guys really need to reevaluate. You already know our stance on alcohol, but even some of the people that still like to drink it occasionally, this is some stuff that's really getting hit toxic. Remember, grape is a thin-skinned fruit. It's not something like a banana. Granted, they can still get absorb it, but grapes immediately absorb anything that goes on the surface of them. 1.5 million pounds yearly average of glyphosate. 70% of grapes are treated with glyphosate.
You know, Austin,
also on here,
oranges. Yeah, hang on one second, Austin. I don't understand this because this is Roundup. Are they spraying it on the soil? I have to read the whole article. Please make that article available for our listeners and post it on the website because I don't know how they're doing it. They may be spraying it on the ground for weed control and they're saying they're treating it with that and that gets it into the system. But I don't understand how they can spray a grapefruit tree with Roundup and with glyphosate and affect the grapefruit and not kill the entire tree. Because remember, it kills everything it gets on. So that's really odd to me. So they must be using all the crops that they're using, Austin, also including all the weed control around the base of the crops. That's the only thing that would make any sense. Otherwise, they'd kill their long-term harvest with one usage.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think they are using it as far as around it. And then also, too, on some, whenever they're having a harvest of something that they're basically have to pull out. That's why wheat is heavily used.
That's like wheat and oats. Okay, good. Because I wasn't making any sense, and I'm like, whoa, that can't be right, because that means it would kill the grape plant, it would kill the grapevine, it would kill the orange trees, it would kill the grapefruit trees. But yes, they do that very heavily here in Florida. They take Roundup, and they have these big spreaders, and they basically spray the entire grove on the ground for weed control. And they poison the roots with this stuff. And so then, yes, it will end up in the crops, but it's not on the leaves, it's not systemic enough to kill the plant. Could be one of the reasons all orange trees have also gotten so weak and so sick down here, Austin, and how we're having such huge crop failures now from just the years and years and years of using these weed killers in the groves.
No, you're absolutely right about that. That's what I wanted to bring up on here. I'm glad you clarified that. But yes, almost all this stuff now is getting used with Roundup around it. That's why it's so important to use and try and get organic food. And then the stuff that's, that basically like corn, wheat, stuff that they actually spray in mass content all over the entire plant because it's going to be dead anyways. They have to replant it. That stuff, you can't even touch it if it's not organic now, because you pretty much are guaranteed it's going to be 100% fully sprayed with glyphosate, even if it's not GMO.
That's right. Now, here's something else interesting. This is a study that came out of Germany. It's not just the bees that are dying from the glyphosate and all these chemicals and these pesticides and these herbicides, but the entire biomass of insects has massively been decreased. This is an article out of Germany. It says that they were caught between May and October, and they've steadily decreased. Listen to this. Back in 1989, when they put a trap out, it would have 1.6 kilograms or 3.5 pounds of just insects, all kinds of different insects. This is 1989. Now it has dropped to 10.6 ounces by 2014. Now think about that. 3.5 pounds, 16 ounces in a pound, that's 48. That's almost a 75% reduction in insect population. It includes butterflies, wild bees, hoverflies, on and on and on. And seeing a lot of these different species of these different insects aid the honeybees in basically pollinating. And so we had a massive, massive, massive die-off. And we've sprayed the entire planet now with glyphosate. We sprayed the entire planet with aluminum. But these bees and all these insects are in decline, and they're heading for extinction. I just wish they could find a way to kill, mosquitoes here in Florida. But apparently all of these sprays they use everywhere to kill mosquitoes are killing everything, along with all the other junk they're putting out there. So, yeah, this is basically a lot of this. The Frankfurt study also indicated as a cause for such a decline the harmful ongoing effects of the overuse of the nitrogen-based fertilizers, the chemical pesticides which are being used in greater quantities around the world, produced and promoted by chemical giants like Monsanto, DuPont, and Cargill. So, guys, they're killing the planet. And once these bees, that's what Albert Einstein said, once the honeybees are dead, we're basically dead. It's done. It's over with. We're not going to be able to feed each other, feed the planet anymore. So, yeah, it's going to get that bad, and we're going to have to do something about it. And guys, listen to me. Here's what you got to do. You don't have to do anything. You can watch everything die. But here's what I suggest that you do. Just start buying organic. If you start buying organic, all of these manufacturers that are producing all of this trash will stop producing trash if the market builds up for organic produce or organic products. If you don't do anything else, it's organic food's not that expensive if you're preparing it at home. It's just not that expensive. Organic rice, organic beans, they're not expensive. They're still very, very inexpensive. But don't be putting all this stuff with all of this glyphosate in your body, in your kids' bodies. These globalists know what they're doing. They're poisoning the planet. The infertility rates on our next generation, the next 20 years, is going to be through the roof because of Gardasil and all these chemicals in the food and water supply, and which is their goal. They want to drop the population of the planet by 90-95%. That's their stated purpose, their stated goal, and they're doing that by poisoning us. And guys, you got to understand that. You got to be taking antioxidants every day. A, D, E, C, selenium. All of those things have to be in your body. Turmeric every single day. Black seed oil. I mean, those are my key supplements I take every single day along with zinc. I take all of that stuff every single day with the multiple. And I take like a handful of pills twice a day. You say, well, that's a lot of pills. I'm like, well, you got to look at it like peas. Peas in a pod, right? How many peas did you eat last night when you ate your peas? You didn't count them, or how many kernels of corn did you eat? That's how I look at supplements now. It's not a question. These aren't drugs. These are nutrients. And the sad part about it is that without specific nutrients that you have to take, like we have a Health Masters product, if you don't add these into your diet now, it's virtually impossible to get the nutrients from the food anymore because the crops haven't been rotated and the soils are so nutrient deficient. Then they've done a good job of destroying the planet, Austin. It hasn't been us. It's been the globalists and the giant corporations. Sad. What's your next story?
No, and you're absolutely right on that. And that's the thing, too. I saw an article earlier. I didn't pull it up all the way, though. But it was talking about how the organic market is already starting to explode with growth further and further over the last couple of years. And that's the thing everybody has to understand. If you start supporting these manufacturers, if you start supporting local growers, any growers that are basically really striving to produce good, quality organic food, this is going to dictate where the marketplace has to go, because if the majority of the population starts transferring over to this type of food, this better quality food, other basically growers, manufacturers, whatever, they're going to have to start following this, because that's where the money's going to go. So, you know, vote with your money. That's what you have to do. If you want to make a choice with this, you have to start deciding what you're going to spend your money on, who you're going to support with it, because that's what it ultimately comes down to. So that's why, you know, it's really, really important to eat as clean as you possibly can. This is a new bill out in Colorado that's going through, or supposed to be getting passed. We'll see if it happens, though, if they don't block it. Surprisingly enough, because Colorado's gotten pretty liberal out there, all the California people that have gone over, but a new bill in Colorado now setting the groundwork that would subject officers who attempt to block, destroy, or seize lawfully recorded videos by citizens up to penalty of $15,000.
Good. I like
it. It came after a result of numerous cases where the current laws and regulations were not enforced at all by police commanders, thereby allowing the unlawful seizure and destruction of legally filmed police video. And the thing they go on to here, they says the right to film officers or anybody essentially in public is guaranteed and protected by the First Amendment right. That's when you go somewhere and there's, you know, a big camera that says you're under surveillance and we're watching this. There's not much you can really say about that. And the thing that these videos do is they really keep a lot of people accountable. And not saying that all the officers need to be kept accountable because they're bad. I'm saying that when you allow somebody to basically take your tax dollars, which is they're getting paid our tax dollars, and they're enforcing laws and statutes and regulations by a badge and a gun, in my opinion, I think it's completely within our right to be able to record them whenever we feel like it. So it's very good. If Colorado passes this, I think it's a very, very important thing, because too many officers that are basically not respectful to their citizens have gotten away with a lot of this stuff, and that's why a lot of courts in different states now have declared it's completely legal to record any type of law enforcement activity as long as you're not impeding or blocking an investigation. So I think this is a pretty good bill. We'll see if it goes through in Colorado, though, because like I said, they've gone pretty liberal out there.
That needs to be passed nationwide.
Yeah,
I remember
it does.
Years ago, I've got a friend who's a police officer. He's no longer in the police business. And he told me that what they do when they wear their vest cams, you know, they have the most cops are wearing cameras on them all the time. They're recording everything. If something goes wrong, there's an erase button on those things.
Yep.
And they just push the erase button. They turn it off or hit the erase button. And then they can say, oh, I forgot to turn it on. Sorry. You know, and that's how that works. So they don't want you to record what they're doing, especially if they're beating somebody half to death or tasering somebody who's helpless on the ground or boot stomping somebody. They don't want you to see that, which they do. Now, the problem is, you know, and someone the other day, another radio host came in and really hammered Alex Jones. And, you know, and I don't think that's necessary. And he said that Alex Jones has basically fomented this hatred against police officers. That's simply not true. What Alex Jones has done is he's pushed out in public knowledge what goes on behind the scenes with many cops that are bad. 80% of the police are great people. They really are. 80% of law enforcement, 80% of the troops, 80% of the FBI. They're all great people. But, you know, they just have that little group in there that gets all racked out on steroids or gets power crazed and they do stupid stuff. And they just need to continually clean out the mess that these guys are doing to keep these guys fired and not rehire them in other organizations or other cities. That's really, really, really important. But for us to be able to record what they say and what they do as a public servant is our right. And they shouldn't have any right to break our video equipment, break our cameras, tell us to turn it off or they're going to arrest us, which they've done many times. They arrest people for videotaping them. And that's ridiculous. I mean, what are they so scared of because of the videotape? You're impeding this investigation. Well, I'm 100 feet away from you. How's that possibly impeding you? Okay? It's nonsense. But see, this is what happens all of the time. Now, I'm going to change subjects one more time. Turkey, this big coup. This is crazy. This is from a video from our military, from NATO. Turkey's coup plotters are members of NATO's Rapid Deployable Corps. This is from Newsbud Breaking News. And actually, Alexander Bruce wrote it. It has been revealed at least three of the five coup regiments of the failed attempt in Turkey are part of NATO's Rapid Deployable Coups, according to a detailed report by Christian Treiber posted to the Open Source Journal. One of the group plotters used a WhatsApp group chat to coordinate his efforts, naming that the group was one of NATO's groups. According to the source, the intercepted communications exposed the infiltration of the CIA, there you go, with Turkey's police force, to show the coup was staged by the CIA. I called it last week. I told you it was CIA in partnership with NATO. Edmund estimates that over the past 20 years, 20% of the military has been infiltrated by the Gulen movement and a whopping 70% of Turkey's police forces. Instead, following the lead of NBC during the night of the coup, several of the most important news outlets in the U.S., which are also controlled, remember, by the CIA and the military and the Rothschilds, they falsely reported that President Erdogan had fled Turkey and was seeking asylum in Germany. Apparently that never happened. This is what Edmonds calls a classic psyop to demoralize the Turkish people. Edmonds says that this implicates NBC as a co-conspirator in the failed coup. Edmonds is leading a call for NBC to come clean about their collusion with the CIA and NATO in propagating this psychological operation, organizing an Occupy NBC gathering in front of their New York City headquarters at 30 Rockefeller Plaza. Now, they learned way back when they were forming the Tavistock Institute. It originally started, it wasn't called that, in England, and they were using shell shock victims of World War I, of what it would take to shock people into change and to take the entire herd of people and move them in a different direction. And that's what this is all about. This is why they said that Erdogan had been denied asylum in Germany. He'd already fled the country. All of this stuff they're reporting apparently were all lies, and the CIA and NATO were involved in overthrowing this guy. Now, also, the CIA has been looking for additional drug routes through Africa now to bring the heroin in. They've been bringing it through Ghana and a few of the other countries in Africa because apparently there have been some problems with Turkey as far as wanting too big of a slice of the pie with the money for the drugs. God, this is so sick you can't even talk about it. And so now they're looking for alternative routing. So I personally believe they wanted to clean it back up in Turkey, get this guy out of power so they could continue to funnel all the drugs out of Afghanistan as a distribution node in Turkey. So guys, this is really what's going on. You know, I don't cut and paste and make fun of this stuff. You know, I mean, this is the real news, okay? This is what's happening. And so we need to realize that, you know, we've got to stay on top of what's happening. Watch the ball. You know, they're trying to obfuscate everything here on an ongoing basis. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting now, too. You can thank Target for their awesome policy that they like to do and obfuscated a lot of stuff with it, but also, too, in turn, pushed a lot of people away and brought a lot of weirdo people in. A 43-year-old man named Sean Smith, who said he self-identified as a woman, was arrested at an Idaho Target store after an 18-year-old girl was trying on swimsuits in the changing room, saw Smith reach over the wall with his cell phone. Smith was charged with a count of felony voyeurism after police reviewed the footage. He was booked as a male. This is one of the multiple cases now that Target has had issues with dressing rooms across the country, even after their stocks have crashed. So this is again, what I told you I was going to happen with a ridiculous little transgender policy. And the thing is, you guys got to understand is, even if you talk and you hear from a lot of these people that are in the gay and lesbian movement, and that's, you know, their thing, is that's the, you know, group of people that they hang out with, a lot of people never supported this. That whole group didn't even support this. This whole allowing people to say that they're a different gender on the day that they want to feel they're a different gender to go into a different bathroom is complete and total lunacy. And they see that. Everybody sees that. And like Dad just said, I think a lot of that was obfuscation over the last couple months. But Target obviously didn't think so. They're still holding their word that this is a great idea. And it's bringing in a lot of positive people into their store, apparently.
Well, I think Target just needs to be boycotted by all of us. That's my personal opinion. Oh, by the way, talking about obfuscation, while the entire planet was yelling last week that Melania Trump had basically plagiarized her speech from Michelle Obama, what you missed was this. This is what happened and what they didn't buy you. No, but no one allowed you to get this in the media. The United Kingdom's newly appointed Prime Minister, Theresa May, announced in Parliament that she would not hesitate to authorize a nuclear strike that could kill hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children. May added, and I have more to say to the Honorable General, the whole point is of a deterrent is that we are know that our enemies will be prepared to use it. Okay? So she's welcoming a nuclear holocaust, apparently. Secondly, this week alone, U.S. airstrikes in Libya have killed at least 85 civilians, but that was all covered up because Melania Trump plagiarized her speech. Turkey has lost and launched a major crackdown on dissidents. Now they have like 13,000 people that are saying they're fixing to execute, which is interesting. We kind of missed that, mixed out on all that. Video footage has emerged of a U.S.-backed rebel group beheading a child, reporting as young as 10 years of old, in Syria. The Palestinian border was captured. Palestinian boy who was captured from the Ain El Tal area, an official Palestine refugee camp, was accused of being a pro-Assad fighter. And following the recent blowback against American police officers, which has seen civilians directly firing on law enforcement, officers around the country are setting to trying to adjust their strategy. They intend to change tactics and adopt measures that will guard against events like the Baton Rouge shooting and the police captain that had been shot in Kansas City. So everything's changing very, very quickly. It says that the new attacks include, new tactics include making sure two cars respond to all calls, pairing up officers, suspending solo patrols. All these are good ideas, by the way. Increasing surveillance and increasing the number of helicopters to fly above cities. Oh, more than the police state. Notice that none of these things are noisy, by the way. Now, note that none of these strategies acknowledge the public's request that the American cops refrain from executing unarmed citizens in broad daylight. So, Marie, while we were listening to Melania Trump's problems with her speeches, all of this stuff was going on. So it's kind of crazy how the media does all of this to cover up these other stories that are supposedly no big deal. Isn't it awesome?
Well, yeah, it is interesting. And they've been doing this for years, and they've gotten really, really, really efficient at it. I saw an article earlier that I touched on for a second when I was reading through it. It was talking about the multiple things to how you can identify false flag shooting. And one of the, you know, the bullet points in there was the psyop that they use in the media when there's news, and what specific words they use, what specific colors they use, what specific phrases they use. Like immediately it always says, you know, breaking news, 10 dead in mass shooting. Well, as soon as you see something in big, bold red letters that says breaking news, you immediately subconsciously fix to that because you want to see what the breaking news is. It's something that demands you watch it immediately. And then they also use all kinds of other different words and just psychological manipulation to get people to really fixate on it. And that's what you're talking about right there, the obfuscation. That's just one part of it. But then when something else happens, oh, let's bring up this. You know, this person said something stupid at a convention, or they said this the wrong way. Let's go ahead and eviscerate them for 2 or 3 days on the media. We won't cover anything else significant that's going on. We'll just focus directly on that. Oh, because like just like the Dark Act 2, I pulled an article on that with the Montana Farmers Union. I haven't seen anything at all in the last month on mainstream media about the Dark Act 2.
Nope, not a word.
Nothing. Not a single word. Not even to the fact that Obama's supposed to be signing it into law. Nothing. Not a peep. And the Montana Farmers Union is basically flipping out right now. They've been contacting the U.S. House of Representatives, all kinds of everybody up there trying to get them to reject this thing, pull out of it before it even goes all the way through with Obama, because Montana, does anybody know, they have one of the largest stakes in the organic food industry. It is the country's top producer of organic wheat, flax, dry peas, and lentils. And they said that they basically, the DARK Act 2 was a complete and total garbage compromise that should never have been passed, and it's doing nothing but to support Monsanto, which is what we've already talked about. But I didn't know this until I was going over this, is that Montana is really big on organic farming up there, including the wheat and the flax, which is really, really, really important food, considering the fact that 90-95% of that now is all GMO, and if it's not GMO, it's getting sprayed with Roundup. So organic versions of that are very hard to come by, and they're very, very important that we keep those going on. And now Montana basically is going to have no incentive to even use any of this stuff because of this DARK Act, too. That's why, as we said again, I'm reiterating this again for the second time. I know I'm not, I'm being redundant on purpose. We have to start eating organic and supporting those organic farmers, these organic unions, these organic manufacturers that are really trying to make a difference, because it really is going to make a difference in the future with our health and our children's health.
Well, you're absolutely right. Oh, here's something interesting. You know, I always like to give you guys the latest information on Israel. Israel is now hosting, this is from Charisma News, an occult festival. This is going to be... yeah, I'm just going to read it to you. I can't even make this stuff up. The global music festival called Tomorrowland, no connections with Disney, supposedly, has the same goal, sort of. What is being offered, however, is neither music experience or a technological one. The festival is an openly spiritual, weaving stories and fairy tales in between musical performances that communicate a hybrid of devil worship, Wiccan, and Hindu. This year's Tomorrowland Festival is in Israel. They've welcomed it, arms open. For the first time, is the new 11,000-seat arena in the holy city of Jerusalem hosts this satanic, pagan music festival.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the festival began in 2005 in Belgium, and that was in... You know, guys, listen to me. Nevertheless, the Israeli Ministry of Tourism has welcomed this blatantly occult festival to carry out its activities in Jerusalem, the city in which God has chosen for his name to abide. So what does the Israeli media say about Tomorrowland? They say basically it's wonderful. It's one of the biggest electronic music festivals in the world, and they're looking to bring a lot of people in with it, and they're saying that there's something miraculous about to happen if the participants will just look into the mirror and unite with the power coming through the live Belgian feed. I don't even know what to say here. I don't even know what to say. It's just, you know, we so want to believe that Israel is the Israel of the Old Testament, but it's not. And it just is what it is. In fact, the article goes on to say, and I'm being very guarded with the words that I use, what we can do, those of us who love God and his people, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to Yeshua. No matter what Tomorrowland's Book of Wisdom might claim, we ask that the body of Messiah worldwide, of Yeshua, to stand with us in prayer as we intercede for our nation of Israel and our people. So there, that's what's happening in Israel right now. They're having a giant satanic worship service in Jerusalem. So, yeah. What's your next story, Oz?
Also, too, back to Hillary picked that Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. I meant to bring this up earlier, but I wanted to address it for the end of the show. It wouldn't surprise you that this is who she would pick, because he has a history of embracing full-blown Islamic behavior. He appointed a Hamas supporter to the State Immigration Commission. He also spoke at a dinner honoring the Muslim Brotherhood terrorist that was back in a federal prosecution in 2008, and he's received multiple donations from well-known Islamic groups. So why would we expect anything different than that to be picked as the VP running mate from Clinton? So that right there should just put the icing on the cake. Another reason why you need to wake everybody up and make them realize this is not somebody we need to even consider voting for in any type of realm whatsoever, period, at all. It can't be any more clear than that.
Well, back to Germany. Germany has another bomb injury. They have a bomb blast, kills one person, injures 11 at a German restaurant. You know, just I think you just need to bring in more Muslims, personally. I think you just need to go ahead and finish it now. You started it, you might as well destroy it all the way. I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, if Angela Merkel stays in power, it's going to absolutely blow my mind. This is actually happening. It really is. By the way, Turkish police are now arresting 60 children for treason. Ages between 14 and 17 have been detained in prison because of the coup that took place. And by the way, here's John Kerry. This is the guy. This guy's a piece of work. He says that air conditioners are as big a threat as ISIS. He says that the Secretary John Kerry said in Vienna on Friday that air conditioners and refrigerators are as big a threat to life as the threat of terrorism poised by groups like the Islamic State. The Washington Examiner reports that Kerry was in Vienna to amend the 1987 Montreal Protocol that would phase out hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs, from basic household and commercial appliances like air conditioners, refrigerators, and inhalers. As we're working together on the challenge of ISIS and terrorism, Kerry said, it's hard for some people to grasp, but what we and you are doing here is equal importance to get rid of refrigeration. Kerry said that most of the substances banned in the Montreal Protocol have increased the use of HFCs and claimed the coolant was thousands of times more potent than CO2. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a second before I get into another rant and start fussing. Guy's a blithering idiot, okay? It's called air conditioning. It's called refrigeration. Huge step 100 years ago, started going into most of the homes. Before then, we had to have ice buckets and ice delivered to people's homes. Here's the thing that makes me so angry. They're spraying us with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of tons of aluminum and barium and strontium in the air every year through the CIA, through their global geoengineering initiatives. This is minimal compared to the damage that they're doing to the environment and to the ecosystem and to the atmosphere. It's ridiculous, guys. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for listening to the show today. Hope we were able to articulate a few points. I had to be a little careful with what I said today. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Sign up for our newsletter. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We appreciate you guys so much. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, thank you for everything, guys. If you need any questions answered, give us a call. Email us at healthmasters.com. You guys have a wonderful night, and we'll be back on the show again tomorrow.